what's to come. Orders, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future, but I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You've made it through the work week. You've made it to Friday night. You've made it through to your poetry addiction. It's World Poetry Open Mic. I'm your humble host, J. Todd Unhill. On my left-hand side, wearing his chicken suit, because he thought it was World Poetry Open Mic, he is Michael Amade.
I still haven't realized that that's not what this is. Right. When are we going to talk about the damn poultry?
Yeah, I know, right? Don't be chicken. We can talk about it now if you want.
About what?
Go pluck yourself. Anyway, on his left-hand side, I said pluck yourself. Don't put me in a penalty box. His left-hand side, wearing his chicken suit for some weird reason, peer pressure, I guess, he is the half-squatch.
Well, I had all my numbers, I had all my feathers numbered, so I was putting them back into place because I've exploded a few times in it.
He's molting. We actually started a gang, a street gang.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's the street gang called?
You don't want to know. It's not appropriate to stay on the air.
Yeah. It has to do with the rooster thing.
But we walk around in a...
Kentucky Fried for the West Side.
Yeah, we walk around kind of in our you know, rooster costumes. If someone comes up from another gang, we look at them, just square in the eye. Man, they just run. They just run all the way down. We own like 6 blocks now. It's been great. It's only been like 3 days.
Wow. Yeah.
They're afraid of my turkey kick.
Oh, goodness. How do we get out of this? Okay, what we do is we do poetry. We want 1 to 3 minute long poetry. We want one poem per phone call. However, you can call during all the segments tonight. Yes, I said all, not both, because we are doing the special month beginning after dark.
Yeah.
So.
The chicken suit's coming off and the birthday suit's going on.
Well, technically, isn't it on underneath your chicken suit?
The birthday suit's
No,
always,
I peel that off.
The birthday suit's always going on, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. All right.
That's happening right now.
Before we have you call in with your poetry, I do want to let you know we are being brought to you tonight by 3 great sponsors. Good Morning Snore Solution. If you have problems with snoring or a loved one has problems with snoring that's keeping you up late at night, check them out. They were on your way in. Click on their link. Get one of their wonderful appliances and stop that snoring. Whether it's for you or a loved one, both of you will sleep better.
That's right. And that's something I know that we all deal with here, I mean, because we are a bunch of snoring bastards.
Yeah, my wife's like, I really want to just wring your neck. So anyway,
really?
Well, no, I couldn't say the other thing on the air. Yeah.
I'm good.
Good stuff.
Just say it rhymes with trucking spill you.
That's right.
If you see a wife bringing a wooden oar into your bedroom and putting it down next to her side of the bed, I would be concerned.
Yes. All right. We're also being brought to you by KNET Books. If you're in school or you want to learn something new, you can basically rent college-level manuals for whatever class. If it's poetry, if it's math. Math is impossible. Anyway, they've got history. I'm totally kidding.
It is not impossible. It doesn't exist.
Wow. Continue.
History, nuclear physics, anything you need to learn in college, you can basically rent the book from their website. Saves you a ton of money on buying these books that you end up having to sell back to the college at the end of your semester.
Well, see, and that's one of the big things, and especially since colleges have moved to the idea of not just requiring you to have a book, but also requiring you to pay for an online segment of the class. You have to take classes or pieces of the class online. Minimize it any way you can and find, you know, go to KNET Books, figure out how to minimize the cost with books as much as possible.
Any any savings is good savings. Benjamin Franklin once said, a penny saved is a penny earned. If you're in college, and I was not that long ago that I was in college, definitely your pension pennies anywhere you can to save money for beer and women. But seriously,
Hold on. Beer and women? Where are you paying for women?
Well, you gotta buy them.
We don't live in Nevada, my friend.
Gifts, not that you're buying them.
Okay. All right. It sounded weird to me.
All right. So, also, naturebox.com. Check them out. They've been the longest sponsor with us. If you want to be around to enjoy that education you got, if you want to be around to teach yourself to stop snoring, you're going to want healthy snacks. Naturebox.com subscription service. Healthy snacks, GMO-free, gluten-free, sugar-free. They have more or less anything you need to eat healthy. Snack healthy. I prefer to snack healthy.
Well, you know, if you eat healthy, if you take care of yourself, you're able to enjoy the beer and the women that you buy more frequently.
Well, for a lot longer. So, all right. That does it. Now we're going to want callers. You're going to want to call 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766. We do not, strangely enough, condone buying other people. We're just kidding. But we want to talk about poetry. We want to hear what you want to share.
More things we don't condone: the usage of the F-bomb or hate speech. So make sure your poetry's free of that. We want to keep it PG-13 for the first two segments. We're going to open it up wide for the third segment. You're going to want to call 720-240-9766.
720-240-9766.
Call now, damn it! Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice, you've got World Poetry Open Mic. And you know what? I'm very disappointed in you both.
Yeah, why's that?
Today's a very, very special occasion.
Yeah?
It's your 1 month anniversary of being... Oh.
No.
You got glasses.
Well, yeah, I got glasses on Thursday, but no, it's a very special occasion.
Special occasion.
One year ago tonight, World Poetry Open Mic became an independent radio show, basically separating themselves from the oppression of KZKO.
Oh, now we're saying this stuff on the air. Yeah. No, we
now well, it's been a year of holding out. Our tongue. I guess
we did longer than that.
I haven't been holding my tongue. You should hear what I say in person.
Well, you should hear what JT says in person.
I think everybody at the station heard what JT said in person. Anyway,
that is very true. No, you know it's That's funny. I didn't connect that.
3-7 was our first ever show as an independent show.
Yeah, it was.
Wow. And
it's been a year.
That was also, so on the 6th, so for all the people who got the album that I put out October, that was the day I turned in the original draft of that. The pre-mixed draft of that was March 6th, so that was a year ago tonight.
A year ago tonight.
And then a year ago tomorrow night was our first indie broadcast.
Yeah, well, anniversary for launching the show, I consider the first week March anniversary.
Absolutely.
So. Fair enough.
Wow. Yeah.
So, you know, they're coming out of the woodworks, too, for this great celebration for us.
Yeah.
We've got 15 of the best lined up. Well, 14 of the 14. Best. And then I'm going to read. Yeah. And then, so let's not waste any time. We don't want to waste any time. We're going to just try and keep things going. Let's go to Ellie in Pennsylvania. Ellie, are you in line with us?
I am, Michael. How are you?
Doing very well. How are you doing, Ellie?
I'm doing fine. Really good.
Good.
Except we got almost a foot of snow yesterday.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah, but it'll go.
You guys have there's a pretty big cold snap that passed us over a few days ago.
Yeah.
It's just recently left us, but we had about, a week and a half of just really cold snowstorms.
Yes.
It came here, but it's leaving, and next week it's going to be nice, and it's going up in the 40s and 50s.
So. It'll be a balmy 40.
Yeah.
It was a balmy 49 today at my house.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, it's coming to say, hi, Jay Todd, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing very good. How are you?
Just fine.
I'm so glad you're leading us off tonight.
I always feel honored that I am. Totally honored. Shall I start? Or?
Of course. What do you have for us?
Okay. This is a very old one, but one of my favorites. I'm not sure I've ever shared it before on here.
Right.
It's called gifts upon the sands. Hurricanes of anger, winds of rage, wave after wave pounding my spirit, ravaging winds blowing sands, chaos and confusion fill my mind. The furious sea tossing debris randomly upon the beach. Suddenly the storm subsides and one solitary man waits. Quiet, patiently, he waits. Awareness fills my spirit. Debris lies on the surface of my mind. Still he waits. I begin to gather old debris, handing him each spirit-rending flaw. The sands are cleared and smooth as the sea peacefully rolls upon the shore. His light of love begins to shine on gifts the storm has left behind, gifts I would have never found amongst the old debris. Now we walk together on sands of peace and love, knowing storms will come again upon this soul of mine. No longer do I walk alone. Through storm or calm, he guides my soul to gifts upon the sand.
Great way to lead us off.
Thank you very much, guys. Your encouragement is beautiful.
I'm so glad you call our show every week. Please don't stop calling us. Just know that we love you.
Oh, well, won't we? We're a family, so of course I'll be calling every week.
Awesome.
have to be with my bros.
There you go.
I love you guys. I love you, and God bless, and have a great night. I know it will be.
Thank you.
You too, Ellie.
That was Ellie on World Poetry Open Mic. She's talking about her bros with the pros.
That is awesome.
That was over the top. I didn't know how you planned that. That was amazing. So, I get one of those right on my voice box to where you can do that to me every time. Anyway,
it's pretty incredible how that works.
That would make
it?
Wrestling announcing over the top. All right. So, are we ready for the next caller? Or are we gonna?
We're
going to
give us one moment.
So, anyway, I was going to tell you about that music that JT selected.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. Information Society, Pure Energy. And why did you pick that again, Mr. Asquatch?
Well, okay, so I picked it because it had our Poet of the Month in it.
Yes.
It says Pure Energy.
That's him?
That's him.
What? All right, so here's a memory I had from... back in the day, now two younger poets. I used to hang out with this guy named Robert Mordlin, who we'd run around town, write and perform and everything like that. We decided one night, after 5-6 hits of really bad acid, and
oh god,
a couple of shots, that it would be a great idea to get in his Ford Econoline van and drive all the way to Fort Collins to write.
Why?
And I don't know, because of the influence we're under. And the poor guy had one tape stuck in his tape deck that would just play and play and play. And guess what that tape was?
I'm guessing Pure Energy.
Information Society?
Information Society's Hack, and which has that track on it. And I'm like, oh, this is a really cool song. When we first get into the van to travel up to where we're going, and I'm like, after about 2-3 times through, I was like, oh, I hate this stuff. Well, now, whenever I hear that song, it's this beautiful memory of this poet that is now passed, but quite interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so interesting you knocked your microphone stand all the way over.
I bumped my microphone stand with my knee. It was wonderful.
Holy cow. All right. Damage repaired.
I think so.
Shields up. Let's go into full photon torpedo mode.
Uh-oh. It looks like we dropped one person. Looks like Lady Anne.
We lost our next caller. So we're going to...
Hey, look. You know
Lady
what?
Anne, if you're listening, you're going to want to call back.
Look, she's right here.
Okay.
Ready?
Let's do it.
Live.
Lady Anne, are you there?
I'm here.
It only took us a year to get this much experience to know how to implode just right on our first anniversary.
Can you hear it?
I can.
Are you cussing, Lady Anne? Is that what that beep was? Are you censoring yourself?
No. I'm so sorry. My internet went down right then, and I've been working to furiously get it back up. I'm really glad that you saw the number, that I'm still back up there. It just happened that minute. I don't understand why.
I know. We had a plethora of problems here in the studio that bumped us off. It must be like some conspiracy theory from the feds, like the NSA or something.
Oh, wow. Well, anyway, I'm glad to be back up. How are y'all doing tonight?
Doing good. How are you?
Great. I'm doing really great. School is really hard, you know. I really wish it were over, so to speak. But you know, I know that if I just make it through this year, I'll be done. And it will be over.
Yes.
But anyway, so are you guys ready for the relapse episode 2?
Episode 2, yes. This is the five or six episode poem that you're doing?
That's right. It's a mini series.
All right.
This is the second episode. All right. Here you are back at the meeting, where to sit in round seating. This way everyone's faces are in view. You'd want to hide, not stand out new. The meeting begins, the chairman starts. The prayers of each come from their hearts. Announcing the theme for discussion today, many stand up for what they have to say. As you look around, you see a cup in many hands that you believe. Alcoholics tighten their grips to manipulation, like that cup will serve them total salvation. Holding out your hand, steady as steel. You can't be here, this isn't real. I'm not one of these sorry-ass losers. I'm not a druggie or a boozer. So the meeting opens for each to tell their horror story to living with hell. All the stories are complicated, but they're not there adjudicated. Why would the court want me to listen? Watch them drown in sweat and glisten. All the tears come down to fall, contagious, catching one and all. Denying that you have addiction, certainly not one of your afflictions. Starting to squirm in your chair, not listening further or willing to share. Looking on the clock on the wall, check your phone for any phone call. When you notice the dealer's phone, off to the restroom to be alone. Dealer tells you of his new stash, replying, I'll call back in a flash. You haven't even left the meeting, unconsciously drugs already seeking. Meeting not finished, but you can't stay. Phone the dealer, you're on the way, speeding down the road in locomotion. Your brain thoughts scattered in commotion. Heart beating wild and rapidly hard, you just became the Joker wild card. No one will know you where you are this time. Securing a motel, spend that dime. The problem is the other guests you recognize as the drug hole rest. Giving you an acknowledging smile, knowing what you're doing, all the while relapsing a second time. Oh, no. Ready for episode 3 next week. How did you all like that?
That was awesome. Wizard energy is coursing through my veins right now.
You guys are funny. But I got to tell you that this particular series is now up to 750 responses.
Nice.
I'm really, it's amazing. So I'm anxious to see the reaction for tonight. But anyway, so remember, he's in the motel room and he's relapsing a second time, and everybody knows it.
Awesome. Right. We're looking forward to number 3 for next week.
That's right. See you next week, and have a great week, you guys.
You as well. That was Lady Anne on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Yeah.
That's how that works.
Wow, you actually hit the plunk without bumping us off the air this time.
I don't know what happened last time.
I don't think that was his fault last time.
I really think that someone's out to get us. Not really.
Nah,
I'm just kidding.
We have enough problems on our own.
Just because you're paranoid.
Doesn't mean that everybody's not out to get me. Anyway.
But just because you're paranoid doesn't mean people are out to get you either.
Oh, that's true too.
All right. Someone who's not paranoid, or shouldn't be, she's from New York. Please welcome Lorraine.
Yay! Listen, I just want to clarify one thing for a read. If I understand the emails correctly, at the risk of sounding indelicate, God forbid, is our third segment heading a little south of the border, somewhere between rodeos and yeehaws? I mean,
no, it's not south of the border. It's completely over the border, across the line of human decency, uncensored poetry, just no hate speech.
We're south of Mexico. I got you.
We're going south of the border repeatedly.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Now to business. I'll get this one done with. 2 days ago I wrote this. No title. Why do the seasons bring such melancholy? If I could, I would live in eternal spring. But oh, the beauty of autumn, the majesty of winter, the promise of spring, leading summer by the hand. Each has its own significance, its own beauty, its own tempo. I would no sooner mess with nature than cancel my life. Only the promise of change matters. Put in motion by an ancient metronome, the rhythm to which we must all find our dance. Thank you. Gracias. That's in the mode of the moment.
That was awesome.
What does gracias mean? I'm not sure what that
I'm not sure. It's Spanish, isn't it?
I believe so. Hey, so do you talk to Michelle at all?
Actually, I haven't, and I don't know if I hope she's all right. I assume she's all right.
Yeah.
We haven't been in touch.
Well, if you get in touch with her, tell her we miss her.
Yes,
and
I miss
love
her
for her to
greatly.
Call back.
Oh,
and
my
share
God, you
us.
Haven't heard from her either.
No, we haven't.
No, she's off the radar. She's flying beneath it. I don't know what's going on. Okay. I'll try and find out. I'll let you know.
Sounds great.
It'd be great to have her call back during the second segment or, you know, next week. Yeah.
I will, we'd love to have her. Because I know she's a love. I will do that.
Okay. Thanks so much, Lauren. We love having you on. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, too. Talk to you later.
Definitely.
Talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye.
That was Lorraine on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Now, someone who's called us many times, Miss Lorraine, in the last few weeks, we're going to go to someone that hasn't called us in quite some time. Please welcome back to World Poetry Open Mic. He's Mr. Sean Tucker.
Hi, it's really good to be back on the show. How's everybody doing tonight?
Oh, doing good. Glad to have you back with us, brother.
Yeah, it's good to be back. It's been a little while, but I've still been keeping close to touch with the poetry, but I've actually been working on a novel that is a little different for me, a little different swing of writing, and I've been enjoying just writing however I can, but I've been working on this new book, so I haven't done quite as much poetry lately, but I think you've probably seen on Facebook, I still post some new stuff quite a bit.
I do.
Yeah.
So are you going to share one with us?
Yes, of course. This one is pretty seasonal as to where we're at in this time of year, but if you pay close attention to where the poem's going, there's a little bit of a twist at the end, and I'm anxious to see what you think of it.
All right.
This poem is titled, April Will Come. Peeking through the blinds of the front window, sensing that the season is near, bringing my mind to a time that isn't so low, as my thoughts begin to seem clear. Missing the green grass that can't come soon enough, wishing for my next big bass, my reel's been lying for over a month. But for now I'll reclose these blinds and wait for the sun, because it won't be too much time until the snow is done. The only thing that keeps me young is knowing that April will come. April will come. If only so many seasons haven't went by since my life were that simple. Now I'm looking at the flip side of a time where I beg for this sorrow to dwindle. Because now, when I peek through the blinds of the front window, I clench my eyelids to avoid tears. Time has never went by so slow since the time that she was near. Missing her sophisticated class that left her just vulnerable enough to never begin to look back once she knew the safety of my touch. Still having flashbacks of looking out these same blinds, anticipating for her to come, I thought, it won't be too much time. She must be out having some fun. It's okay. We're still young. April will come. April will come. Remembering the days before I met her, when I looked forward to this month. But now this month only reminds me that April didn't come. April didn't come.
Wow. Wow, that was a swerve.
Thanks,
at the
I appreciate
end.
That.
That was really
what did you
good.
Think of that? That's a little different style than what I usually give you.
Yeah, that was definitely a huge swerve at the end that I wasn't expecting. Very well done.
All right, thank you, thank you.
Awesome, Sean. Don't stop calling our show, even if it's intermittent like it has been. I love having you read on our show.
All right, I appreciate that. I won't be a stranger, that's for sure.
Awesome. That was Sean Tucker on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. All right. Wow, wow. 14 poets lined up for tonight. Just in segment one.
That's true. It's almost as many as came when we said there was free chicken for that free reading.
You missed it. You missed it.
I think you meant something else by free chicken for the free reading, Mr. I'm wearing a chicken suit.
Well, that's how you advertise the free chicken.
Yeah, you got to be in your mascot outfit.
Yeah, and you hold a sign that says "Free the Chickens." Did you see the website I sent to you earlier today?
No.
Oh, you should have looked. Did you see that?
Yes, I did.
I did. That's a real thing. Yes. I said a thing about mascots. We can create our own mascot costumes.
Oh, awesome. I saw that.
So I want to be the World Poetry Open Mic microphone.
Why not? Mike and a mic.
See? Mike being a mic.
And then you guys can dress in banana costumes.
That's right.
We can be the
peanut butter jelly time. Peanut butter jelly time.
See? He knows.
The mic and two bananas. Two banana mic.
I just want to dress up like a banana and just lay around in a hammock. That's all I'm saying.
I really do have this thing I want to do this summer. I mean, I know I'm a 34-year-old guy, but I really want to put on a panda costume and just tear through public places, causing pandemonium.
Pandemonium.
Wow.
All
right, so to save us from ourselves, we're going to go to the poet state, the unofficial poetry state. It is Michigan. Chris, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening to Pandemikium.
Yes.
Can't Pandemike and the bananas?
Yeah, I'll go with them. You guys are rich. You got the world at your door.
Yeah, but they're all collecting debt is the problem.
Oh, nice.
Oh, I don't know. You got 14 individuals just waiting with bated breath to get in and then share some of their thoughts and passing the light to the next and the next and the next. And then you got at least two more sessions, if I'm remembering right, since you're going to go after dark.
Yeah, we're going after dark.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Unnatural.
Stripping out of these chicken costumes.
Speak for yourself. Oh, wait.
Well, this evening I decided to go in a different way from some of the other pieces I've been giving. Individuals have this tendency of finding something that draws them, that's bigger than themselves, finding purpose, wanting purpose. So I wrote this one and the one I'll try to get in on the second segment. I call this the mage. Faded in gray, he was slowly shuffling by, in time to the weary tune sounding softly within his head, going, but he doesn't know where, nor when he'll be there, nor even why, just going to be going somewhere. Anywhere. With timeless steel green eyes, he looked by me. Through me. At me. And paused. And he nodded. He nodded. It was his recognition of my existence, his total understanding of my presence and the acceptance of my being. His withered lips slowly curved into a granite smile, a calming, gentling, knowing smile. Without uttering a sound, he continued down his chosen road, and I turned and followed. Moving ever forward, following the tracks, his steps, our footfalls were slow, measured, tireless, though always steady. Living in this path till his became mine, in time, our time, I found what was, what could be, what could change, and what couldn't. Growing, being more than I knew, awaiting for the moment, the ending, though dreading its arrival, but knowing, always knowing, just how close it was, and nearer it was coming, inexorably, ceaselessly. We aged in ways I couldn't stop, nor would he, if even he could or dared. He knew, though he never said nor hinted at what would be, but he knew. I know that now. We walked, we talked, I learned how to listen to more than the sonorous rap of his voice. I learned how to see beyond my vision, and then beyond his. So much needing, remembered, for the tomorrows when silence would otherwise reign. The days, ease, nights, our time, passed relentlessly, steadily. His leading, my following. His weakening, my growing, till I understood the man. His place, heart, thoughts, our time. Past, present, future, all one, all tied, linked, beribboned and bowed. Bowed, each to the other. Then came the eve, that eve of ending, the awaited moment, the time. He sat staring into the night, listening to the stars, whispered to his heart for hours, seeing, and I knew. Just as I knew what he saw. He listened to our mortality, each passing a whisper from star to star of the changing of humanity into what we are. He watched the silence grow as each star ceased to be, to all that remained in the firmament was unending black. He sat still, motionless, even his breathing pause to the moment's arrival, then drawing up, tightening, his physical presence softened. Edges began to blur. He seemed to swell outward, away. I watched. He slowly faded, opaque, to just a soft, translucent, expanding glow. His eyes then moved slowly, ponderously, seeking mine and locking, holding my sight. The granite smile returned. I watch him pass to black, transparent as the night of which he became part, without a sound to mark the journey. Just his Cheshire-like smile remained as an after image in my mind. Part two's next.
Awesome, Chris. I do want to let you know, and the listeners too, we lost our broadcast capability right in the middle of your poem.
Just for a little while.
A little bit got missed.
A little bit.
If you missed any of any poet, we put this up for rebroadcast, so tune in.
And it gets recorded all the way through.
Yeah.
It's so the whole thing, Chris, was all the way through.
Just like now, we just lost the broadcast for another second.
It keeps crashing. I'm not sure what's going on where they are.
Oh, I know what's going on, but I'll tell you during the break.
But at any rate, we wanted to let you know, Chris, that we have the whole thing recorded. It'll be there. And people were asking us to have you redo it, and because we only have a certain amount of time on the broadcast, we can't do that. So I apologize to you for that, personally.
It's nothing to apologize for, guys. We all know technical problems happen.
Gremlins.
But we got it all, and it should be on the archive, right?
Exactly.
It will be.
Exactly. Shortly after the show, maybe tomorrow morning.
Yep.
And the second part should be pretty interesting, because I take it from where basically that one left off. And the new mage comes into being.
Nice.
All right.
I look forward to it, brother.
Way cool, man. I look forward to the rest of the readers that you've got. My best to Lady Anne, to Ellie, Sean,
all of
everybody
them.
Else that comes up.
Oh, yeah. All the callers we have are amazing tonight. And you're amongst them, Chris. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Take care.
That was Chris on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. So, wow. Strong piece. I can't wait for part two. We're going to go from Michigan out to the left coast. Please welcome from Oregon, she is Ola.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. What's up with the sound? I still can't hear anything.
We keep losing our broadcast capability. I strongly suspect there's an issue on the audio end.
Yeah, it's not from you, and I know it's not from our studio here, so it's kind of the intermediary streaming service, I think.
And let's just face it, everything that goes to France eventually fails. Germany being the strongest of them all.
Wow.
I'm totally kidding.
Wow. That's okay. Well, the French Revolution was kind of successful. Just going to throw that out there. Napoleon was pretty good at his time.
Yeah, but he still failed.
So does everybody.
Yeah. So. All right, Ola, do you have a poem to save us from, save me from getting in trouble?
I do have one. It's a short one. It's called Would It Really Be?
All right.
Would it really be so terrible? Would it cost so very much to just be you? And to just let me love you. Oh, yes, I have known for a long time now that it is easy to love when the weight of life is hidden from view. Do you remember we talked of love way back in the beginning time? Is it so very bad to let it be now, in this time and in this place? In this tiny world of make-believe, can there be no truth, no real love? The piece of my heart that is yours feels no less for its size. It will still ache and it will still break. And it will still love you fully, completely, unconditionally.
Very well done.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. You guys cold out there? You got snow coming down?
Actually, no. I'm in a little hidden away valley of spectacular weather, and I don't even like to tell people that because I feel embarrassed.
Hey, you know what? No.
I know what was really sad about that? I miss winter.
I know you're in a hidden away valley. There's no one else listening but me. What is the name of that little valley you're in?
No, I'm not telling you.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Good. You know, you saw through his manipulation.
I'll send you an email.
That sounds good.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you for calling, and I hope
I'm going to try to get back in on the next segment.
Awesome. Look forward to it. That was Ola on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Wow.
Wow.
Great poets up and down the list. Let's go to one of the greatest, well, at least the longest supporting poet of world poetry.
He is. He's a wonderful poet.
Yes. He's a great poet, but he's also been the longest supporter of our insanity. He is Dennis from Michigan.
Oh, poetry open mic.
Hello.
I'm back.
We're glad you're back, brother.
I'm glad to be here, too, and it's a blessing to me every week. I would like to honor the poet of the month, the recently departed Leonard Nimoy.
Awesome.
It was a learning experience for me to find out he was a poet, because I did not know that before. So I'm going to read a poem of his. The title is Chambers Street. I got the stick. Who's got the ball? The tar is hot and sticky. Buck, buck, up against the wall. Go yell for Joe and Dickie. Hey, kids, get away from the car. Mary's white coming out the door. Communion at St. Joe's. Pick up the dice up off the floor. Tell them Chinky shows. Here comes a pair of penguins. They'll wrap your knuckles hard. You want to try and duke it out? Let's go down by the yard. Charlie's river's dirty now. Can't swim there, out of luck. First is the poles. The car is third. Get chips from the Iceman's truck. Hey, kids, get away from the car. Run and hide from the crazy guy, dressed in a robe of black, tied with a robe, shouting loud, what's sitting in his sack? We never finished summer then. It sort of slipped away. The worry on the young one's mind, what was what we were going to play? Hey, kids, get away from that car! And that's the end.
You did that one really well and playfully. And I got to say, when I was looking through some of Leonard's poems last week, that one actually jumped out at me. I almost did that one myself, but you did it very well.
Yeah, it was a challenge, but I think it's a fun poem. It brings back a lot of childhood and neighborhood memories.
Yes, it kind of reminded me almost like a Kerouac-type poem.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. And I'm going to get off the line, let somebody else get on, and I'd like to really, once again, thank you guys for everything you do. I know there's been a little bit of technical difficulty, but I know you guys are on top of it. So I'll just step out of the way and let the next poet step up to the mic. And thanks again. God bless.
Thank you, Dennis. That was Dennis on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. See, Dennis, not only is he a great performer and very humble about what he does, but he loves hearing other poets read their stuff, too. He's in, he's out, he's like, I want to hear more. So, let's not keep him waiting. Let's go down to Savannah, Georgia. Please welcome Mr. Lewis Finley.
Yes, sir, my brother. How you been the last 7?
Oh, I've been good. How you've been?
Well, tell you a little story. A certain social network, I mentioned two four-letter words in succession. One was Zion, one was ISIS. Mentioned them together one time too often, and they gave me an invitation to go find another social network to go make myself useful at.
Oh, really?
Well, I'm at YouTube now because my glasses came in, and doing my reading and my... Got my Bible stuff going. I'm reading I got a Bible program I found online, and I was talking about that last week with my read there about teach a child to read.
Yeah.
But I'm good to go on that, and I can send you those video links from YouTube if you like. I got your email address. I'm pretty sure I'll just keep that clicks in us.
That sounds good.
Good. I got one. I call it simply one word title, Who.
All right.
Who is he? Is he compared unto Shakespeare? Working at some place called the Globe Theater? is he compared to Lazzo, Valentino, Liberace? Sitting alone at the keyboard, night after night, week after week, month after month, while an audience in his own world of his own making sits staring, transfixed, at a combination of a magician, musician, and master hypnotist. Is he like unto David, greatest king of the old, seeking after the heart of who he knows as his master, knowing that there is no infallibility in him, knowing that there are people who may believe that he is infallible, and being shocked to know this. Is he like under Caligula, who has left the empire shocked at his antics, riding bare-booted naked to Capri and back on the old pontoon bridge? Is he like unto the Lady Godiva, who came from among the people and as often as she tried to fool herself and disguise the fact she could not do it, for she knew she was one of them? Is he like unto Bartimaeus the blind man when he heard that the master healer of eternity past to the eternal future, Christ Jesus, came by? Lord, Lord, be merciful unto me. And they said, Bartimaeus, be silent, he's busy right now. And he cried the more, Jesus, be merciful unto this woeful sinner. And Jesus, looking upon him, take heart, son, come to me. What would you that I do for you? Master, that I may receive my sight. Receive your sight, son. Your faith has made you well. And he, having received his sight, thanked his master and followed him. Can you quote none but God and his son saying, I am? I am he. Be it his will. Thank you. I'll send you those videos, brother.
Right on. Sounds good, brother.
You got them, brother.
Thank you for calling our show, man.
Always.
That was Lewis on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Sorry.
Slippery chicken bone there?
I thought I heard a rhinoceros dying in the background, actually.
Wow.
You know, those things are endangered, my friend. You need to be nice.
I'm sorry.
You can't even harvest the ivory that's on them.
No, I don't.
You can't even? Like you're upset? You can't even? Of all the things I want to do.
If you're going to kill a woolly mammoth, you need to harvest the ivory.
If I'm going to kill a woolly... If I actually succeed in killing a woolly mammoth with my bare hands, which is also on my bucket list, I'm going to do whatever I want. If I actually succeed, I'm going to go, I feel terrible, but I'm declaring victory here.
This is coming from a man that helped birth a shark.
That is true.
And you scratched that off your bucket list. You're like,
that was never on my
bucket list. 32, I'm done with that.
You know, I would just write it in on your bucket list and then scratch it out because that's pretty cool.
Okay. But, you know, I was talking about this on Facebook earlier today. You realize there's certain things you wanted to do as a kid that you still haven't done. And you're like, what am I doing with my life? And, you know, one of the things occurred to me, I'm like, you know, I haven't even killed one bad guy with the broadsword yet.
Nope.
Not even one.
Nope.
Not even one. I haven't stormed one castle.
And that's like near the top of your bucket list.
That was always on my bucket list.
We're going to call him Amadei the Impaler.
It's not after dark yet. Okay. Hey, so everybody listening, we're going to find a new way to stream this so this doesn't keep happening. So I apologize. We've been dropping off like this. This isn't cool. Bear with us tonight. We're going to get through this tonight. We'll have something different that's more accessible and that you can use on iPhones and Android and all of that. We should have that up in the next week or so. So just bear with us.
All right. So without any further ado, please welcome from New York, he is Leo.
Leo.
Hello. I'm sorry if it dropped, guys. There was some technical difficulty. So,
you know, yes, there are lots of technical difficulties.
You know, you guys are dropping like flies. And, you know, let me tell you something. I know you're all men, strong men, but I got to tell you, don't take it the wrong way. But I think there's something wrong with your equipment, okay? So, I mean, you need to check things out,
okay? You know, I think you're right, but here's the deal. Our equipment's fine. I think the issue we're having actually exists in our streaming service in Paris, France.
All the way from over there.
Yeah.
And it's causing problems here. You see this international stuff, man?
I know, man.
So,
and we want to do a paraphrase.
You're saying that Michael's having a problem with his equipment and keeping a stream going.
Then I'm now in turn saying, don't blame me, blame the French.
There you go.
You see, Michael, you're winning them over with the... Now it's not just hating states. It's all over the world now. It's countries are included now.
You know, it knows no bounds. No, I mean, really, I apologize, guys. You know, our audio stream's been Frenchified. I don't know what to say. That's what's going on right now. By the way, all of the other co-hosts have all just cringed at that, and they're leaning back going, oh, no.
Here comes the heat mail from Paris.
We won't be able to understand it anyway.
Now that you went there, I know somebody said, it's okay, I get it when you say, south of the border, is going south of the border. But when you go south of the border repeatedly, now that's a hefty appetite, guys. I mean, really, come on.
You have no idea.
You have no idea about our appetites.
Maybe I should be glad.
That is definitely something that you don't really want to know.
All right, the YouTube channel is... No, never mind. We're not going to go there. All right.
Okay. Well,
what do you got for us tonight, at least this segment? Because I know you got something special for the last segment.
I'm creating it right now. You guys are giving me so much incentive and cues that I'm writing as we're going along, you know, just for the third segment.
Nice.
I mean, you're the ones who started bringing up, buying women. I don't know if that was buying women or people in general, but that's some good stuff for the third segment right now.
I said no hate speech, anyway. But I just said nothing about human trafficking. Anyway, we're not going to go there.
That's right. Okay, no, let's not go there. We didn't go there at all, did we?
That sounds like a World Poetry Open Mic t-shirt, if I've ever heard one.
Well, you know, technically, I could pretty much say what I want if it's not even going to go on the air and it keeps dropping, right?
Oh, no, it's going.
Oh, and it'll be out there with your name on it afterwards on iTunes, my friend.
All right, I got it, okay. I thought I'd try that one, but all right. Anyway, this one is called The Mirror, and let's see what you think. I'm looking for some kind of reflection from the past, marked with today's date, sprinkled with an overwhelming joy, as if seeing a loved one from long ago. Our eyes can sometimes hinder our sights, marred by the beatings of life's experience, and hope falling off the edge of the table. And we forget to miss that having that hope. The list of goals, sold to reprioritizations, sidestepping equations that can bring solutions through the pollution of betrayal and disappointments we go through. We can circumvent the unrelenting bitterness that hits us when we fall or are pushed and there's no sign of a cushion to soften the blow. Come on. We all know how it is at one point or another. We want to give up on each other. It hurts too much. So we decide to feel less. And we do that so much more. But maybe we can remember. If we hurt, it's because we love. Removing one may remove the other. I want to look in that mirror and see who I want to be. Someone who I haven't seen in such a long time. Before he was disfigured by so many years of defending the championship of staying strong. What good is the fight when you lose the heart? Sometimes we misplace that mirror. We don't look into it for so long and forget how we look or used to look. Sometimes the mirror is smashed, a result of bad luck or bad decisions, and we forget our need for it. It's not just the mirror itself that we need, but the power the mirror can bring us. If I can look in that mirror and see that me that was, then maybe I can believe he can still be again. He may have a few bruises and some scars, but what may also be thickened is a wisdom acquired from those hard times, and the hope restored when realizing the distance attained. And next time, I may not be so easily burned by the fire, and also avoid being totally consumed by that fire. I think maybe we shouldn't even concentrate so much on the image of the fire anymore. Instead, we should keep our eyes on the image in the mirror. Let's not forget who we are, who we were, and who we are, and who we truly want to be. In poem.
Very well done. I like the ending sentiments of that, too. Never lose sight of who you want to be.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Great poem, Leo. I hope we'd hear from you all the next segments that we've got.
Thank you. I'll try to make something really special for round three.
Awesome. That was Leo on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of poetry radio. I wanted to take a moment before I get hate mail from many activism groups. There is absolutely nothing funny about human trafficking.
No, there really isn't. No.
And
we're just being jackasses.
My public apology is right here, first off. I'm sorry for cracking that joke. Second off, before you send me hate mail about human trafficking and a joke I make on the air, I want you to look at two cases of human trafficking that happened today and chase them down. One really broke my heart. First off, Brandon Marshall went to... got traded to the Jets.
Oh, my Lord.
And Jacoby Jones got traded to the Chargers, which breaks my heart.
Public relations nightmare waiting to happen, J. Todd Underhill. Also apologizes for that joke. Okay.
Well, no, it is.
They're paid for it, my friend. It's a job.
I know.
Okay, that's not trafficking. It's actually a very serious problem. We'll have to talk about that on the show
someday.
It is,
we will.
It's a really prevalent. I had no idea what a big deal that really is.
You know, we did talk about it a while ago.
That's right, we did. Because we've had some poets
write
in about this kind of thing to talk to us. So it's we actually don't take it a joke. I don't think anybody really thinks we're serious. But if in case you're listening and you think we are.
Well, no, I caught that coming out of my mouth. I'm like, ooh, that's not so good.
We're really not. Yeah.
No. You know that.
Don't and my apologies to
treat everybody well. Everybody's equal. Love everybody.
That's awesome. Right. And someone else we love, calling in from the Poet State, the unofficial Poet State of Michigan. Please welcome Emmanuel to our show.
Yeah. Yes, hi, how are you?
Doing good. How are you doing, brother?
Oh, I'm doing good. It's been a minute.
Yes, it has. A couple minutes, at least.
Very true. I wrote this piece a couple days ago, and it's called Infectious Smile.
All right.
Here it is. Smile so beautiful, sweet, bright white. Looking in your eyes, holding your hand, nothing ever felt so right. Most people notice the way your hips move as you walk, the quiver in your voice. But how about that smile you keep flashing as we talk? It'll be easy to look down at your chest as we stand face to face. Not to take anything away from your twins, but that infectious smile keeps me coming back to this place. Sometimes I close my eyes so I can see those perfectly shaped lips. They are soft to the touch, and your grin, smirk, smile is what makes my heart skip. You have tamed the wild beast and brought kings to their knees. That infectious smile of yours has men dotting all I's and crossing all T's. Just to be in the room with you and your infectious smile, just for a little while. That's it.
No, actually, that one we were just letting sit and finish. That was very good.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Emmanuel, never stop calling our show. I love your work.
Oh, thank you. Hopefully, I'll be around for round three, all the way around.
Awesome.
All right.
Bring it. That was Emmanuel on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. If it seems like we've picked up the pace just a little bit, we're trying to get all these callers in. That was actually caller 10. We still have three more callers. So, without any further, four more callers, and then me.
You got to learn math, man.
Math, I told you, it's impossible. So,
no. Put your glasses on. Put your glasses on.
Please welcome from British Columbia, she is Cynthia.
Hi, congratulations on the anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We make a bigger deal about the original launch of the show, but this is really where we gained our freedom as a show.
This is huge, and 14 poets lined up.
I know.
For this segment. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So I'm up here in Vancouver, where it's really quite beautiful, and we want to believe that spring is officially here. So I wrote a poem about that.
All right.
And it's called Crescent Moon. Tranquil branches rest under a pastel sky. Waves slow to a heartbeat. Rhythms of winter subsiding to spring, like light from an ended star. The seashore blessed in caramel and lilac shells, like aurora borealis, sprinkled across the sand. Brave bare soles and paws taste the cool ripples, the strength of kindness in every changing season. And that's the end. That's it.
Very well done. And I just want to tell you on air how grateful I was that you sent me that track last Saturday. If your entire spoken word album turns out like that piece, amazing.
Thank you so much for encouraging me. It was World Poetry Open Mic, the hosts and all the listeners who made that possible for me. And my friend Nicole who let me use her studio.
Not a problem. If you decide you want some sort of like review or something like that for that, I will gladly write it for you because that one track was really strong.
Hey, I would love a review.
Awesome.
And the CD is officially coming out in April. It's all recorded and all polished up, and I'm just waiting to get them printed.
Nice. Excellent. I will write a review as soon as I get my copy.
Thank you.
Just let me know where I can buy it.
I'll send you guys one.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. That was Cynthia on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. That's why I like poets all over the world gathering, getting inspiration, sharing in poetic thought with each other. This is exactly how I envisioned the show when we first started.
And you know what's so cool about this show, too, is like when people send us books, they usually send us one copy. And we're thankful to receive
absolutely.
It. Absolutely. You know, and on cold winter nights, we like to get in our onesies and have hot chocolate. We all sit around on the couch together and read the book at the same time.
Except for you read faster than I do. And you're always asking JT to turn the page before I'm ready to finish.
Yeah, the problem is I read slower than everybody, so.
Yeah, so you never really get to hear it. But here's the thing I realized. I've learned to slow down because this is actually true. We were kidding about the other stuff. It's actually true. I didn't realize this. I actually speed read.
Yeah, you do.
Totally not on purpose. And so I've actually learned to, I'll read and literally like look at the wall and look at, and wait for other people and be like, oh my gosh.
Would you just hurry up?
Hurry up. Seriously. This remedial?
I wish I had your issue.
It's not a bad thing at all. It's just something I didn't even realize was a thing until.
You want to have problems with your equipment and not keep a good stream?
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Totally where I was thinking.
All right.
Would you like
so.
Full hose or half
hose? Wow.
All right. Without any further ado, please welcome from Connecticut, she is Barbara Arantru.
Please welcome.
We have you laughing, don't we?
She's crying. Guys. She's crying is what's happening.
No, seriously. I lined up all my poems to read, and now I have to find the one I wanted. But you have had me in stitches tonight, really.
Awesome.
Literally.
Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed the show. If we make one person laugh, I feel like our show's a success at this point.
Really?
Heck, if we have one listener at this point, I feel we have any success on
people
our
have strange ideas about what success means, Barbara, and we just discovered that Jay Todd's is when we're a laughing stock. So yes. That's good to know. But we're not stand-up comedians.
Well, I mean, you guys, you started the show with chicken outfits, and then you went to bananas and a mic. And I thought of that combination, and, you know, you want to be serious, you know. It's just something.
You tried being serious dressed that way, Barbara. That's even harder.
Yeah, do you realize how hard it is for me to walk into my bank dressed as a banana and cash a check? Really?
I'd like to see you do that, really.
Well,
I am 34
if you contact
years old,
Jason
and
White
laughing my ass
at the Inglewood branch of my bank, he will attest that I've actually tried that.
Well, just remember, JT, that we are going to be talking on the radio.
I'm going to dial it back just a little bit and be a little more reserved for your show.
Blog Talk Radio, no. It's okay, but, you know, my audience will be PG mostly.
Okay.
I mean, I do have some people who aren't PG writers, but for the most part.
I will keep the energy at a dull roar instead of what I do here.
No, up here, your show, you can do whatever you want.
Okay.
You guys, you have free reign on this show. I mean, really. I mean, it's your show. So you can say and do whatever you want.
That's the joy of being independent, which is
exactly
what we're celebrating tonight.
Exactly. So I was home with my daughter for the umpteenth time this year because she couldn't get into work because of the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And she and I were talking, and you know how you say gild the lily? Well, then she said someone went over the top and they danced with the lily. So I asked her if I could use that as a title, and it caused me to write this poem. So.
All right.
Called Dancing with the Lily. You can gild the lily, stuff yourself with food and drink and engulf your life, envelop yourself in the joys of the moment and overdose on thrills. Or you can fling these aside and dance side by side with your desires in a mad tango of desire and frenzy as you strive to keep grace and order while taking little bites of the force you cannot control. If it were to spiral forth, so you take the dance. You can't control if it were to spiral forth. So you take the dance with the lily, gliding back and forth, ever aware of the end game. You dip and slide in a great circle as if you were whirling beside the most graceful partner and you were a star dancer, until your partner becomes too tempting and you take too many bites and it slips away from you as the dance ends and you realize the music was the life you could have led had you not danced with the lily.
I like that piece. That's awesome.
Sometimes I take things that she says. I wrote a storybook about something she said, and I just love to do that, taking things that people say and writing poems or adding them to my writing. So
I do that a lot, too. I'll steal phrases and whatnot, and I'm like, oh, hey, I can build a whole poem around that. It's nice to know someone else does that, too.
Yeah, I think a lot of poets do that. I mean, it's part of, like, Cynthia even has it in her awesome book, which I'm about to review. And I just wanted to say to everyone who's on the line and listening that JT is going, Underhill is going to be my guest on my show, Red River Radio Tales from the Pages, coming up March 26th, Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And I think that would be
2 our time.
PM?
Yeah. I actually took a half day off work just so I could be on your show.
Yep. So. And my show is 2 hours, and I'm also going to have on Cynthia Sharp from this program, who we met, who is going to talk about her book, and JT is going to talk about his books of poetry and his awesome life. And when you hear about his life on my show, you are going to even, wonder why he's, not more famous. So, anyway.
Because my wife won't have it. That's the whole reason right there. You know what? I'm looking forward. Do you have the link ready for the page for your show, by the way?
Almost. I've been so busy. Tomorrow night, believe it or not, I'm going to be getting ready to do a podcast to South Korea. The South Korean contacted me. He's a person who wants, who actually is a book blogger who wants to teach English to South Koreans, and the parents of South Koreans who want to teach English to their children listen to his podcast, and they want me to do this podcast. So I'm doing that tomorrow night, and I don't know when it'll be on. Probably on my show you'll hear it.
Awesome. So, when you get the page done, just send a link to my email, and I can go ahead and post it up on a little poetry
definitely.
Open mic site.
It's probably going to be this week.
Excellent. Okay? Looking forward to it.
Oh, great. Okay, guys.
Thank you, Barbara.
Keep going and keep the sound going.
Awesome. We're going to try to keep the sound going for sure.
As long as I keep running, this won't stop.
There you go. The hamsters are on the wheel.
Keep running.
Thank you, Barbara. That was Barbara Erringer on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of poetry radio. Nice. How do you wrap up after that? Oh, yeah, you go down to Kentucky and you bring in a ringer. Philip, are you there, my friend?
No, now he is.
Philip, are you there, my friend?
I am indeed, sir.
Hey, welcome aboard.
In fact, I was thinking, what is the absolute value of a question mark? That's how I was entertaining myself as I waited. That's the best I can do. That's it, folks. I'm not even going to read tonight.
Okay, fair enough. There you go. One and done. He's out of here.
Philip Mike drops and walks out.
How are you fellows tonight?
Doing good.
Good. Have you had some good readers on tonight?
Oh, we've had, before you, 12 of the best readers on tonight.
All right. Wonderful. Well, they'll probably remain the 12 best. I don't have much to offer tonight except for one lengthy little poem, and I call it A Few Last Nails to Seal It.
Okay.
A few last nails to seal it. And here it goes. I loved her despite the obvious incongruence. Our age difference bookended around an era tragic, fantastic, and grotesque. The same immemorial threats and stories about love and death wove through history's bombast and dust-worn motif tapestries that collectively resembles conditions human, from colossal warfare fierce to our unborn beautiful boys, roseate seashells overturned by clumsy little fingers inquisitive, along pristine shores daily cleansed by moon and sun high tides, these invaluable bits of minutiae lost necessarily by life's brevity. She is accustomed to coarse language, salivary vehemence, and the vituperative cruelty learned by foul-mouthed opportunists and imbecilic parents who shortened her last day's innocence, her upbringing a rage of undulant noise, immersion, and raw emotional tumult, my soft-spoken demeanor at odds and unfamiliar, voice wearied, ignored, and toward the end, every utterance of pure love, devotion, and kindness, merely a lilting sound she resented. And there it is.
Very well done.
Thank you, sir.
And you're not. You said you only had one poem for us. You're not going to call back for the second segment.
If I am invited, sir, if you just push me like that, I tell you what, I'll be happy to call back for you fellows tonight.
Oh, you know, I've been known to poke the bear, so I'm saying call back for the second segment.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the support, and I will certainly do that, sir.
Excellent. Thank you, Philip.
You're very welcome, sir. Y'all have a good evening.
Talk to you soon. That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Yeah, poke the bear. Provoke him. That's what I do.
Poke the bear.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that from? Besides the way we handle Russia.
Well, no, that's pretty much my dealings in all life.
Is poke the bear?
Yeah.
So you expect everybody to be a bear?
I'm
or are you just surrounded by really hairy men in leather?
No, I'm so not subtle. I don't need just poke the bear. I walk up, kick the bear, and run for dear life.
But then as you're running, you go...
Exactly, pretty much.
And you just prance through the field, forgetting your worries.
It's the Underhill nature in me.
Everybody wonders, what the hell is wrong with that guy?
That's pretty much the Underhill nature in me, too. Everyone's like, that dude's got to be on something.
He's skipping through wheat with a bear behind him. He's skipping, and he's touching the...
No, wow. He's skipping through Walmart with a super soaker, spraying down unknowing customers. I know.
Yeah, let's not do that anymore, okay?
All right.
Okay.
We're about out of bail money anyway, so might as well stop.
We are entirely out of bail money, to be honest.
All right, we got one last caller in the segment. She wins the Endurance Award. I hope her phone was charged up. Please welcome from Texas, she is Mariah.
I hope her phone was charged up. Please welcome from Texas, she is Mariah.
Hello?
Hello, Hello. Welcome aboard.
Who has blue eyes? Who is blood tested? What?
White and gold. Oh, wait, sorry.
nothing. We thought we could hear the conversation going on when we first came on the line. Sorry.
We have her laughing, too.
I was like, I had no broadcast on my end for about 30 minutes there.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the computer or you guys.
No, it was the internet, basically.
It was the internet.
We were broadcasting to a complete black hole. It was sucking in our signal. Nobody could get us.
No, it was intermittent for a while, Mariah.
Yeah.
We eventually got it, but I think we're going to be switching to a new server next week.
All right.
So do you have a poem for us tonight?
I do. It disappeared. Okay. Stupid touch screen.
Okay. I know the feeling.
all right, before I read this, I don't know if anyone knew this, but March 1st was Self-Injury Awareness Day.
Mm.
And, you know, that's something that, you know, I struggled with for a while. And so I wrote a few poems in honor of that, but I'm only going to share one.
Okay.
So.
All right, go for it.
Tidbit of info. It's called Silence as My Weapon, Razors as My Shield. Lines of red stuck to my skin, knowing my hope died within shattered memories and blue-bruised expectations. With silence as my weapon and razors as my shield, I fought off disbelief and depression like a soldier, ready to open fire at the first sign of questions. My body was a battleground for my emotions in the world, with mines in my hip bones that left craters in my soul. Gunshots left straight-lined scars and bullet holes, shredding my self-esteem. Now, the only thing left are imperfections on my surface and beauty within. Embracing my skin marked the end of my battles, but not my war. Silence still has a way of slithering up between my spine and playing my ribs like a xylophone. I still have to choose my shield. End poem.
Very well done, Mariah.
Thank you.
I love your poetry. I just want that out there for everybody. I love your poetry.
Well, thank you.
Your delivery is really
spot on.
Really, really good. So I love that delivery.
Yeah, I'm trying to find more places that do like actual slam competitions and stuff.
Well, if you happen to be in Denver, there's this place called the Mercury Cafe. If you do end up appearing there, let us know, and we will come down and support you 100%.
If I'm ever in Denver, I will shoot you guys a message on Facebook.
Oh, I'm glad she added a message on Facebook, because if she's ever in Denver, I shoot you guys. It's just not a good thing.
And she's from Texas, so we don't know what's going on.
Thank you.
Yes, I will hunt you down.
Yes.
That's how they say hello in Texas. Right?
That's pretty much every acquaintance we've got. If we're ever in Denver, we're going to hunt you down.
Wow.
Thank you, Mariah. And we will hopefully talk to you next segment.
Yep.
All right. That was Mariah from Texas on World Poetry Open Mic. We're going to try to keep things going. I'm going to read one tonight, but it's not my work.
What?
Yeah. See, how tomorrow is a special day in my life.
What's that?
Well, a woman that I have loved for my entire adult life has agreed to go on a date with me.
What?
To go see a poet and singer named Jeanette Napolitano.
What?
Oh, okay.
You sorry. Thought the woman that I love was Jeanette Napolitano.
Yeah, that's my where wife. I was thinking. I'm sorry.
My wife is the woman I've loved my entire adult life. It's very easy because I only started becoming an adult like at 35, but... Just saying.
Nice.
So, this is one of Jeanette's pieces, and I don't know if she's going to do this tomorrow night because it's pretty complex for her to do as a solo act, but we'll see. This is entitled, I Call It Love. If you listen to the ocean and the rhythm of the rain and the rhythm of a heartbeat and it rips you up again and you do not see the color, and you do not see the reason, and you do not understand these things, you only know religion. And the wisdom of the ages meets the wisdom of the moment, and the future, past, and present is a feeling or the touch. And the walking hand, you feel it, it follows you like a wind, and the voices in your ear are telling you so much. Some call it Allah, some call it God. Some call it Buddha, I call it love. Some call it power, from up above. Some call it Jesus, I call it love. When you're guilty of compassion, it's the border of oblivion. On the international, binding us together. When the song is all around you, telling you to be free. And the force has finally found you, and it's everything you need. Some call it Allah. Some call it God, some call it Buddha, I call it love. Some call it power, from up above, some call it Jesus, I call it love. Most call it Allah, most call it God, most call it Buddha, I call it love. I call it love. Right? And that's why she's one of my favorite poets. We should make her poet of the month, like, before it's posthumously.
Yeah, well, let's do it.
Let's work on that for later in the year.
We got some time.
Yeah, we got time. Hopefully she doesn't die. But
hey, we got time. Shh. Positive thoughts.
All right.
Going down that.
Positive thoughts.
Going there's very that torcano.
All right. Yes. Torcano. That's
what
funny.
Happens when a tornado meets a volcano. It's a torcano.
Yeah, but you're referencing what we found earlier tonight that's going to remain a secret. Oh,
please delete that, JT.
Okay. Basically, we ran across some tracks from like this old music festival I used to organize, and Amadei was in a band called Torcano that performed there.
Well, that was a
It was
joke.
A one-off joke,
we were trying
yeah.
to come with a name and the idea of what happens when a torcano meets a, or a tornado meets a volcano, which is a line in an Eminem song.
Yep.
And we thought, what's a torcano?
There you go. All right, so that does it for this segment. We're going to reload and refire. If you're a new caller, now is the time you're going to want to call. We want new callers. We want the same people that called in last time. We want more people to call in than last time. Let's make this the longest segment in World Poetry Open Mic history. Call now, 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766.
Call now! Meanwhile, at the Hall of Doomed, our old server is doomed. The Hall of Doomed. Like, audio's server is doomed.
Well, we'll see.
Okay, so we're here during the second segment. We're starting it now at 9:43 our time.
Yep. Yes.
We have 13 callers.
Yeah. And we still have After Dark.
And we have After Dark. So, in the interest of time, I say we hit this like an F5 Volnado.
Okay.
And make this
Volnado. Great. All right, so let's go out to New York. Please welcome to the phone line, she's Lorraine.
Hello, guys. I'm trying to get a grasp on the climate. I'm going to regret this question. You guys thirsting at the moment for frilly, solemn? Give me a hint.
Frilly.
I'll take frilly. Yeah.
Frilly dillies are good. Actually, the frilly dillies we're saving for the next segment.
Okay, well, this is pseudo-frilly.
Okay.
Pseudo-frilly. All right. The Vixen next door. We know what a Vixen is, right?
Yeah, it was an 80s hair band.
Oh, yeah.
All women.
Okay. We're on the same page.
Just kidding.
There's this... Don't make me laugh.
Wow.
There's this cutesy neighbor who's fallen from grace, a favor, at least in my eyes, to my husband's surprise. I never let people affect me this way, but when thinking of her, this much I will say... She's shamelessly braless when she checks her mail. She slows local traffic each day without fail. Truckers stare slack-jawed, and roof repairs cease. Why, she's even managed to charm the police. Now, I'm not saying she shouldn't live there. Where she hangs her panties, I really don't care. But the value of houses should be uniform, depending on neighbors and how they perform. Our real estate broker informed us today he could get us more money if she moves away. So we ditched the for sale sign we had on our lawn and hope that by next week, with luck, she'll be gone. The end. Is that frilly enough? Or,
it works. That was good.
Frilly enough. Yeah.
Quite frilly. Yes, we thought that was quite frilly.
All right.
Yeah, by the way, I did try Michelle, and there's no answer there, so I don't know if they're out of town or what's going on.
Okay, fair enough.
Just to let you know.
Well, if you get a hold of her, just to let her know we love her.
I will, and she loves you. I know that. So.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thank Back you. At you. Talk right. to you later?
Yes, we will talk to you later, and we love you.
Yes.
Now
okay,
and
we
later.
Love you, too. Okay. I love you, too.
Bye. That was Lorraine on World Poetry Open Mic, the next Evolution Poetry Radio. We're going to go from Lorraine in New York out to the unofficial poetry state. Please welcome from Michigan, he is Dennis.
Hello, I'm back.
Hello, I'm back. I thought we had Dennis on the line.
Well, Dennis, sometimes.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's keep this segment rolling. I have a second poem by Leonard Nimoy. The title is Pictures of You.
All right.
You're surrounded by pictures of you. Here, you are so young and handsome. Here, you are with a wife or two. Here you are, so happy, and then some, surrounded by pictures of you. Your walls are covered. No more space. Too bad, you're such a pretty face, and so adored. Don't you ever get bored looking at pictures of you? You're hit with a spotlight from above. Your fans are screaming words of love. You're always so busy. Don't you get dizzy looking at pictures of you. The end.
Very well done.
Wow.
Thank you very much, and it's a pleasure to once again read another one of his poems, and as part of the month, I'm glad I had a small part in honoring him.
Yes, thank you very much.
I'll let you go. I'll let the next poet up.
Awesome.
So thanks again, and God bless you all.
Thank you. That was Dennis on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio. If it seems like we're trying to pick up the pace, it's because we actually have a broadcast window that closes, and we do want to get that After Dark segment in. So I want to remind everybody we're trying to get through everybody and give them equal opportunity, but if it seems like we're rushed, I apologize. Please welcome from New York, saving us from ourselves, he is Leo.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back, my friend.
How you guys doing? Oh, my goodness. This is some show tonight.
It is.
Everything that you... Yeah, let me tell you, I don't know. I'm hearing everything. I'm not hearing everything. I mean, everything that I expect and or not expect, I'm just getting it all from every side. So everything, I get my money's worth here tonight.
Yeah, we are too. Not out of our show, though.
You know, there's a couple of things I got to clear. I got to do a JT. You know, I don't know if there's corrections or that, but I just want to make sure because, you know, because when I heard something about he's skipping through with a bear behind, you know, that could be taken a couple of ways. So,
yes, it can.
You know, yeah, actually, it can have a bear behind you, or I don't know. I just want to make sure that I got it right. Or you have a bear behind going. I don't know.
The power.
Maybe
of
a
illusion.
Little bit of both.
I felt like if a Sharknado met a Torcano there, so, you know, I don't know if I got beat down with that one.
You know what that's called?
Tor Sharknado.
Yeah, actually. Yeah. Tor Sharknado. Sounds like a very high-end dish. That Gordon Ramsay might prepare for you next to his beef Wellington.
So what they do is they take ghost chili peppers and they put it over the top of, like, black fin shark.
Black fins are bastards. I deal with those guys on a regular basis.
All right, so.
They are.
Wow.
They really are. Black fin sharks piss me off. I'm going to be honest.
You're taking some training from Michael over here. I see. Okay.
You have just made angry the entire black fin community that listens to our show.
They don't listen. Black fin sharks don't care about us. They don't care about anything but their own lives. That's why I have a problem with them.
I bet you wouldn't be saying that in the water, right? I mean, who knows?
No, I do. I do actually say that in the water. I get in the water, I'm like, sharks, you have an attitude problem. I actually eat sushi in front of a tank to let them know what happens if they cross me.
Whoa, okay. That's a bad dude right there.
Mm-hmm.
Like a kitten running from an explosion.
Oh, okay. I don't even know where to go from here. Hold on, let me see what I was going to read. I think I lost, I lost everything. My glasses, my computer screen. Hold on, let me see. I was going to read something here, but... that I had just written today, but I think that's a little bit too serious. Okay. I mean, not that it's going to be.
We'll take serious. We'll take, we'll take whatever.
Well, it's really raw, so I mean, all right. Well, you know, I don't know. Let's see what you think about it. I didn't even really go through it, maybe once or twice, but anyway. Nobody can say that I don't just jump in there and then fix stuff later on. It's called The Voice. Okay, so if I may. I started to wonder,
Where are all the good people in the world? Why are there so many who just think for themselves and not others? Why do they forget that others have thought of them once or twice in their life, and that may be that reason that they're still around? Why do so many turn a deaf ear to those who suffer rather than imagine how they must feel and do what they can to relieve that suffering? Why do human rights become less when power, whether in business or government, becomes more? Why is it that one thing which has probably caused more reasons for harm and betrayal and even murder over and over is the one thing that people continue to seek without question or fear of being corrupted by it or turning into those who've fallen under its spell? Where can those who seek to live with a good conscience find refuge? Where do those who desire not to live like a soldier in battle find shelter? How will those who are just too weak to stand against the bear survive? And in this whole world that we live in, who will help the helpless? Is there even a chance to raise the odds on their survival? Or do we just continue to the body count? I used to think that of the possibility that there are no more good people in this world. That most, if not maybe all, are just too well trained in their arsenals and tactics of this world. Or that we've been too beaten through our life's battles, that we've hardened up and have become the aggressors to prevent being the victims. But I've realized that's not the case. It's not that the good people have disappeared from this world. It's that we've stopped listening to them. They're out there, calling us, asking us to join them, asking us to help them. We just have to move that mountain of distraction and apathy out the way so that we can turn an ear, maybe an inch or two, towards their cry. We complain about those who betray our trust and then betray those who want to believe that there are still good people in the world by walking away from them. The next time you feel that urge to hurry on towards that other thing you want to do, or rush to turn on your favorite program, or want to leap up when the phone rings, just when someone is sharing something that seems immensely important to them, in that moment, when you want to move, don't. Take 60 seconds to give to this person who may need it more than blood at that moment. Maybe if you do this, you hear someone's voice that may someday sound like yours. End poem.
Very well done. Strong piece.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
And for as raw, I mean, you said it was raw, and it was the first time you performed it anywhere. I say thumbs up, two thumbs up. In fact, Half Scotch got all 9 thumbs up.
I don't want to know where the other one is. Okay. Oh, it's on the button. I'm sorry, I didn't see. I'm sorry. Always. I was concerned.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm glad the streaming is continuing there.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
It never stops.
Ooh, it could get messy there.
Oh, boy.
Thanks again.
Thank you,
I know, Murphy, I'm early. All right. Thanks again, guys. I love the encouragement. Thanks, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon, Leo. That was Leo on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio. And how do you follow up and act like that?
You know, I can just keep this going, guys. I can keep these stream jokes.
Yes, yes, you can. Thank God I took my cranberry this month.
What do you do with that cranberry?
You eat one cranberry a month?
No, you drink cranberry juice and it helps.
Oh, lower your uric acid?
That and other wonderful things for your kidneys, for your prostate.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All I drink is coffee, my friend.
Well, that's
true. I like to, you know, he doesn't like to drink water either because he feels like fish do inappropriate things in it.
No, no, I drink water. It just has to be filtered through Folgers.
which,
all right,
you know, fair enough. No, I understand the thing about cranberry juice. It's true. Yeah. And another thing that's interesting is I was telling people that I thought the symptoms of gout, to anybody who might have that out there, is caused not just by sugar, which I've maintained for a while, but by fructose.
Yeah.
And people were asking me, well, I don't eat a lot of fruit. And I'm like, what about high fructose corn syrup?
You know, like your ice cream mostly. Yeah.
And the moment you cut that out, whoop.
Yeah.
Disappears.
It's pretty good.
Pretty amazing.
So basically, that was your health tip from Michael Amade. Cut out everything you enjoy, eat everything you don't enjoy, and live much longer to hate your life.
I think I enjoy my life a lot, and I think I eat pretty well.
Because you're not in pain.
There you go.
I'm not in pain.
All right. So, someone who's not hating life at all, please welcome from Oregon, a little secluded valley that shall be named later. Her name is Ola. Ola, are you there?
Plugged in.
Hello?
Hola.
Hello?
Un momento.
Un momentito, por favor.
Hola, hola.
There we go. Let's try that.
Hello? Hola.
Hello. Sorry. Finally, we got you.
That was weird.
Okay, there we go. Hello.
¿Cómo está?
Mike already went south of the border for After Dark.
Yes. Okay, well, I have another short one for now because you said you wanted to move right along. This one is called Chasm.
Okay.
Some will come and some will go. Barely the rustle of a single leaf will mark their passage. But there are some who will move just slightly out of reach, leaving a jagged chasm ripped across the landscape of the heart, a river of life's blood surging into pools of rippling sorrow gathering in its wake.
Another good poem.
Yeah.
Thank you. There are some people that just leave a big hole when they leave.
Yes, there are.
Yep.
Oh, God, do I know
that. Okay, so I'll see you guys on the next round.
All right. Good night.
Awesome. That was Ola, and we will see her in just a few minutes for our After Dark segment on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio. There you go.
Can we make this the After Dark, when instead of the throwing the tablet in the water, we should be like, World Poetry Open Mic After Dark.
No.
No.
No, we can't do that.
We can?
No.
No, I have a different direction? One for that.
Oh.
Yeah, he's got a cue up. He's ready.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Do you want to try it beforehand as a warm-up?
No.
No.
Not yet.
Okay, we're just going to drop it all right
there. That's right. I remember that because, yeah. All right. So we can get to that. Let's go ahead and go out to Chris for part two of The New Mage. Chris, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Doing good. How are you, my friend?
Oh, listening to you guys.
Do you like what you hear, or are you like everybody else and going, God, these guys have no talent?
Now, if I said that, you guys would have a reason to be upset.
No, we're not upset. We're a little mad, but that's the definition of crazy.
Oh, well, the first one that we went through the mage and how the man became what he desired to become, his training, and he followed, and what he witnessed, and how he grew within what he came to believe. So this is the second part. His mentor has expanded into transparency. So I call this one magic. I wear the brown mage's robe, aged as a second skin, never shed. And the softness of the weave fits all that's within, and I wield the power, and weave, and cast, and draw, and hold, and shape with conscious intent, knowingly, willingly, because I can, and I touch without touching, and it's felt and quite real, quite real. And the intensity never fades. Not ever. For ancient is an age of itself, or ages past and lived. It's knowing what is and has and when and hows that others only dream or wish. I don't kneel to the dark, to the light, to mirrors, tears, pain, nothing, not even myself, nor submit. I just am. There's always an open place at my table for any adventure near, and the silvered chalice full with the rich taste of soul awaits every reaching hand. Visit as you will, stay as you may, and my hand rises slowly, and the motion is just so, and the unsaid tones echo and swell, and fingertips trace the air itself, leaving lightnings in their wake, till the form complete remains. Blessed be. The end.
Nice. Way to wrap that one up.
I kind of thought that was a good one.
Those both were good ones.
Yeah, they went well together. I mean, you have to start getting into philosophy and going around the world and interacting with so many people and just listening. Just listening to the old stories and what they're about. And it's heck of a time. Heck of a time.
Yes.
So are we going to actually have an After Dark segment?
We are cruising to try and get one. So I want to say thank you for calling, and I hope we get you in for our third segment, okay?
We shall see.
That was Chris on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. And from Chris in Michigan, let's just stay in Michigan. And no, stay it's not Michigan. Dennis this time. Please welcome Emmanuel. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, welcome back to our show, brother.
Thank you very much for having me again. It's always a pleasure. I know we're trying to get to the After Dark segment, so this piece is called Was It All Just a Dream?
Okay.
So vibrant and lifelike, creative and displaying insight. Insight into a future brighter than the sun-filled sky. The answer to the who, when, where, and why. The cure for every tear we cry. I can see clearly the you and the I, our positions in the world and the direction we're headed, the comforting touch in the storm, who can ever forget it? Was it all just a dream? That's it.
Very well done. I've always pondered that. When I'm up in heaven, once my life here is done, well, I'd be like, how was that just a dream?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you, brother, for sharing on the show. I hope we get you in for the next segment as well.
I sure do. I guess I'm for that one.
Awesome. That was Emmanuel on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. All right. Wow. Just cruising through them there.
Yeah.
Please welcome back someone that wants to shoot us an email when she comes to Denver. She is Mariah from Texas. You know, if I tell my wife that someone wants to shoot us, she'll be like, I sort of figured that.
She's like, we knew this was coming. Yeah, we knew this was going to happen.
Manifest destiny.
Manifest destiny.
Or something like that.
Nothing manifest destiny like someone with a gun pointed at you telling you to do things.
Oh, yeah, that's
usually are a good way to inspire people. To
generally, yeah. I remember. I've seen that in a lot of movies anyway. Never done it myself, actually.
Yeah, it's generally good motivation. All right. Well, I really want to get to the third segment because I have a poem that I've been waiting to read since the first time I called you guys.
Okay.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. I can't wait to hear that one.
But before I can read that one, I have to read this one.
All right.
So, this is kind of contrasting the one that I read in the first segment and kind of just how or where I am today. Called Words Are My Weapons. Times New Roman, Gil Sams, and Garamond write my story, shaping letters that morph into words that I've never been able to say. Ariel and Century Gothic, Franklin Gothic Book, Demi and Heavy, all create a story with points of interest outlined on a piece of paper. Helvetica and Comic Sans both create me and erase me. I am a writer. I am a poet. I am an artist. Words are my weapons against the world. I am me. I am beautiful. I am heard. End poem.
Very, very strong right. I like that one.
It was good.
When I spoke the title out loud, I just realized that, you know, they're both relating to my weapons of choice then versus now.
That's okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Mariah, I thank you for calling in for this segment. I hope that we get you back in for the third segment.
Yeah, me too.
All right, that was Mariah from Texas on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio.
And they call the wind Mariah.
You should probably, sing for a profession.
Way out here, they have a name.
You should.
Maybe one day. Maybe one day people will appreciate my talent. Maybe one day I'll be able to walk away from all of this strife and this misery and sing on Broadway. Sorry, I'm totally kidding. That's not going to happen.
You know, Broadway is just a few blocks that way. We can just put you out in the corner.
I can say, the music of the night.
And then get arrested.
I was going to say, Littleton Police would be on their squawk boxes going, he's at it again. Can you arrest him this time?
There's people out there on Broadway singing all the time. What am I thinking about?
That's true.
Yes. Usually it's things like, bah, give me some.
Wow.
I'm drunk.
Well, they can't hear us.
It's true, though. You know it's true.
Yeah.
So
our next caller, calling all the way from Connecticut, please welcome to the line, Barbara Arendrew.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
It's always so embarrassing when we...
Hi guys. Yeah, we just heard something a little uncomfortable, and I'm dropping into this conversation.
Yes, pretty much.
My phone is going to die. I'm really mad about this.
It's okay.
I'm going to read something that is a little different tonight. We used to go and listen to this band, the Kennedys. You know these guys?
They're
really great. Kennedys, I love them.
Yes.
So I got to know them a little bit, and I wrote Maura a poem for her birthday and sent it to her. Kind of like a giddy fan, but still.
I've done that before. No harm in that.
It's called For Maura on Your Birthday. I have to also preface this with the fact that if I like you and you're having a birthday, I might write a poem for you.
Beautiful.
On your birthday, so this is just me. I always write poems for people on their birthdays. Okay, that's my phone starting to die. All right, here we go. For more on your birthday.
with your guitar and polka dot miniskirt, singing duets with Pete, your voice clear and the beat steady while Pete's fingers danced over the strings, your energy amazed me. Set after set, even without music, it was there. The truth was there, too, in the words of the songs, simple yet soulful. Then in a second, the volume was cranked, and you were belting out a rock song while jumping up and down with a euphoric look. You were ageless. Open as the sky, you give your all on stage and off. Your music and Pete's lifts me up. So I say shine on and keep on shining, for life needs a little bit of your glow. End poem.
Another strong poem.
Well, they're a great, great group. And if anybody hasn't seen them, they are a fantastic group. And I get their newsletters, and I can't really go see them because it's so sad. Because I went to see them with my husband, and now, you know, I'm just, like, a little sad about that whole thing. But anyway,
well, I can still go and see them.
Find a poem for you guys.
Thank you, Barbara.
Oh, you're welcome.
And that was Barbara Aaron Drew on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Now, I was mistaken when I said I went and saw the Kennedys. I actually thought you meant the dead Kennedys.
I was wondering if you were thinking about the dead Kennedys or not.
Barbara, you don't take me as a punk girl. And I was thinking, this is a square peg in a round hole.
And I actually was about to say, the Kennedys, didn't they? And then I thought, that's a really terrible thing to say, because that's not what I meant.
No.
But it, you know.
We needed a hole in the head.
You know, Holiday in Cambodia, and she's not. She's thinking. Yeah.
Well, I went completely a different way, but we'll talk about that during the break.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right, so from Connecticut, we're going to travel out to Washington. Please welcome Leah from Washington.
Hello.
Welcome aboard.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Oh, good. I can actually hear you pretty well, which, you know, sometimes it can be kind of spotty and the hearing department, or maybe it's just me. I never really know for sure.
No, it's not just you. We're actually going to switch the way that we deliver the show because of what's going on.
Well, actually, I hear you perfectly well, so it's like you can change it, but, you know, I won't be calling and demanding it or anything like that.
Well, you know.
I demand!
Oh, you should hear me. You should hear me when I'm calling people demanding things. My kids have made a joke about my asking to speak to the supervisor, but we'll save that for another poem. This one kind of came out of nowhere, and it was like a memory I had from like a long time ago, 1993. Can you believe 1993 was a long time ago?
It was
23 years ago almost. Yeah, craziness. So anyway, okay, here we go. This is called Seattle 1993. Went on a date with a fellow I met on the Green Tortoise. We lay side by side on sand-encrusted mattresses that bounced and swayed like the deck of a ship as the bus lurched through the mountains of Oregon. I had left my husband a few months beforehand, and I longed for the sensation of someone else's mouth and hands to melt away my failure. I squirmed uncomfortably but happily beside my new friend as he spoke to me of Castaneda. When we arrived in Seattle, we exchanged phone numbers and agreed to meet the following week. I spent the evening beforehand braiding my hair and looking for shoes that would match my dress, settling at last upon plastic Doc Martin knockoffs because real ones were too expensive. I bought a dress of a subtle blue color with wavy black lines that reminded me of a swimming pool in the late afternoon sun. He was an hour late for our special meeting, and he apologized, bought me a drink at Queen City Grill with a credit card, bragging that he had never before in his life bounced a check. I said I wished I could say the same. Outside the bar, I lost my balance for a brief moment, stumbled and ripped the hem of my new dress on a car bumper. He looked concerned and said, "I'm sorry. that dress was just too nice. But I laughed, and I told him that it didn't bother me at all. That's it.
Like it.
Yeah, thanks.
So is that a truthful poem of what happened?
I love when people ask me that. Maybe it was actually, but it's okay, I'm in a good mood, so I won't even be evasive. Yeah, it's actually a recounting of a date I went on with somebody in 1993 where I had high expectations and it just didn't pan out. And the funny thing is, I fell and I got to be very good friends after that. So, you know, it turned out just fine. But we were just, you know, not destined to be sweethearts. And that was kind of what the poem's about.
That's how life works at times.
Pardon?
That's how life works at times. You meet good friends, you think you can date, and then nothing.
Yeah, I ripped something, and that was what got me to write the poem. It was really funny. It's just like, for some, you know, I just heard that poets and creative people have been scientifically proven that we don't know how to tell the difference between relevant and irrelevant information.
God, don't I know that's the truth.
Yeah, chew on that one for a while. It's great. Yeah. So, and I was like, this was kind of directly part of that whole, you know, mind trip that I was on. I ripped something, and for some reason, instead of just going, oh, I ripped something, I like flashed back to 20 years ago and had to sit down and write a poem about it right away.
Yeah.
So,
that's how it works in my world.
Yep. Well, anyway, thanks a lot, guys. I'll let you get on with this.
Thank you, Leah. That was Leah in Washington on World Poetry Open Mic, the Next Evolution Poetry Radio.
Boom.
I can tell you where I was in 93.
Where were you?
Well, we're not going to cover this time frame in 93. We'll just move ahead to, like, June. I was working in Yellowstone. Happened to look across the counter. I was a night auditor there. Into the most beautiful set of blue eyes. And I knew at the moment that I saw her, I didn't even know at that point she was dating anybody, that this woman was going to be my wife. And now, tomorrow night, we get to celebrate 21 years of wedded bliss.
You know something awesome about, was that in the summer of 93?
Summer of 93.
You know where I was?
I shudder to think.
I just finished sixth grade.
Nice.
I just started high school.
I didn't say that to be a dick.
Or I was going to start high school.
Oh, we're not
sorry.
After dark
that
yet.
Was the
I can't
summer.
Say
I just
that
finished
statement.
Eighth grade. Hi.
I hate you both.
I know. Yeah.
All right.
We are that young. J-Todd is older
I
than
am
us.
That young. Much more wise than you guys. So, please welcome.
Wait a
to
minute.
Save Whoa. Me from this. Wow. His name is Philip, and he's from Kentucky.
Hello.
How are you doing, my friend?
I am well tonight, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm getting my butt beat by youthful exuberance.
I guess there are worse things to be beat by, so...
Exactly, so stop whining.
Exactly. All right, good deal. Well, I have a sonnet to close with tonight.
All right.
And I've called it A Voice Through the Womb's Tropism Reveals Itself in the Light. And I can read that one more time. A voice through the womb's tropism reveals itself in the light.
All right.
And here it goes, 14 lines for you. Societal disdain toward mental illness against individuals whose quixotic affects lead perilously toward mythic windmills where battles epic are forged in minds fiery. Witness how they rage, questioning every symbol, irrespective of culture's folkways, mores, and squeamishly envisaged taboos. Self is embedded in its own text. Gloriously weird and radiantly numinous, those who wander the world's dimness. Identity, either obscured by fiction, that grows geometrically or is born of it. Flesh filled with logos. A person new, discovered among palimpsest rubble. And there it is.
I love your sonnetry, my friend.
Well, thank you so much, JT. I really appreciate that, and I would love to hear you read sometime.
You know what? I'm not doing my poetry this week, but I'm going to bust out a sonnet for next week.
All right, that sounds wonderful, and I will catch that on. You do archive all your shows?
We do. And actually,
okay,
have,
wonderful.
I have good authority that someone else is going to read one of my sonnets next week, too. But we're not going to.
Oh, how wonderful.
That.
What an honor.
It is a huge
honor.
Well,
I look forward to it.
Thank you, Philip, and I hope we hear from you next week as well.
I will certainly be here next week. So until then.
Until then, my friend.
That was Philip on
Good evening. That was Philip on World Poetry Open Mic, the next Evolution of Poetry Radio.
Nice.
Yeah. So, I know I said I'd try and read some of my work each show, but I'm kind of giving my work a break for a bit. Kind of a special week in my life. We'll go into that more in just a few moments. Please welcome for her second time tonight from British Columbia, she is Cynthia. Hello.
Hi.
Hey, welcome back to our show.
Thank you. So I have a short piece for the second part.
All right.
And it's my poem from Cradle Our Spirit. It's a local spiritual magazine that's just up on the internet.
All right.
And this piece is called Call of the Light. Cherry petals in early sun, from gray branches, smooth as bones in the desert, allow the quiet vibrations of self to surface. The sanctity of spring, a holy ground for beginning to hear one's own voice. The end.
Cynthia, another fine piece, and I just want to say I am so excited to be on Red River Radio with you. If I
Me
ever
too.
To,
I'm really looking forward to that.
If I ever have to do a show without these two young whippersnappers kicking my behindy, then it would be with you. So, just wanted you to know.
I'm even
that.
A little tiny bit older than you, but not very much. No. I'm 46, so I get all the 90s references.
Now, see, you totally sound younger than me. That's the thing. I thought you were, like, maybe 10 years my junior.
No, I'm getting all the references from the late 80s, early 90s.
Nice.
Good.
I'm so glad that people are getting our humor. Cynthia, thank you for calling our show. And are we going to hear from you during the next segment? Do you have adult poetry?
I'm not sure if I have any. I'll be listening for sure.
Awesome.
And if I find one, I'll call. I'll be listening for sure, though.
Thank you. That was Cynthia on World Poetry Open Mic, the next Evolution in Poetry Radio. All right. One more caller, and then we open up the lines for...
Well, we have a couple submissions, too.
Well, yeah, there's that. All right. So, then if you have a couple submissions, then I might read one of my own tonight, but we're not going to... Doesn't matter. Anyway, please welcome from Oregon, Casey.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
I have a special poem that I want to recite tonight. There's a couple other poets on Facebook that one night we just started collaborating and put together this wonderful poem. It was very exhilarating.
All right.
So I want to read that for you. It's called Is It a Sin? This is actually a segue probably into After Dark, so I probably should have held it off. But is it a sin? A kiss can be complete even when lips don't meet, leaving a taste ever so sweet, waiting in anticipation for the sweet moment lips meet. In real life hearts, true hearts skip a beat. Apart you begin, coming closer and closer, with emotion flowing, you kiss once again. Time stands still, bodies become one. Hearts beat a rapid tempo, the tempo of love. We know your name, yet no kiss is the same. It is all in the game, breathing love in, sensing when to begin. Breathing you in, deeply into my heart, into my body, I am your game, I sense a sin. Cascading desire free-flowing within, moments of pleasure, of passion begin. The love it oozes from lips as they touch, not a sin but a prize, playing to win. Is a sin, breathing you in? When passion surrounds you, kissing again and again. For your love I take the risk, lost in your kiss, passion I cannot control. For you, I bear my soul. And that was written by myself, Emma Jane Patterson, and Fenton Kearns.
You can go back to them and report that I enjoyed all of your writings. Your entire collaboration was amazing.
Well, thank you. I think Fenton, I hope, is listening. He was trying to get in. And I've got actually Lorraine, I think, is the phone. There's a couple of folks on there. So I want to say hi to Lorraine, too.
Nice.
But thank you very much.
Thank you. And you. Hopefully you're going to call back for the After Dark segment.
Yeah, I sure will.
Awesome. That was Casey in Oregon on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio.
Man.
How many submissions you got, my friend?
I'm going to just do two. They're going to be two short ones. We've had multiple, but we'll add some more for next week as well. Because we're trying to get After Dark.
Do you want to do one and I do mine? And okay, fair enough.
I'll do two quick ones here. Quick before we end. Okay, so this one is from a contributor to the show named Alan Bain. It's called Heaven and Hell. She remembers the night he left, dressing quietly as she slept. He placed a hand on his unborn child and on his face forced a smile. "Take care of each other," he said, and got up off the bed. She ran up to get one last embrace as tears streamed down her face. He kissed her once more and exited the door and made his way into the war. The pains were coming close and sharp while another pain pulled at her heart. His body lay in the desert sand with her picture held tightly in his hand. She saw the man of certain gloom as they took her in the delivery room. He stepped into the room as she held her son and told her her husband's life was done. What happens to the heart and mind when heaven and hell collide? That's from Alan Baines, called Heaven and Hell. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Michael, for that great read.
Absolutely. Anytime.
I owe Alan an apology. I took a big cleansing breath thinking that my microphone had been shut off and it was not a sigh or anything like that. So
it definitely wasn't. It was just,
Yeah.
I started waving my hand frantically.
My apologies.
No. You reached over. I'm like, oh, he's got my mic off. I'll just take a nice, big, deep, cleansing breath. And the next thing I know, I'm like, oh, hey, the microphone's still on. Yeah. So, like I said, my wife and I are going to this concert / poetry reading tomorrow night for our 21st anniversary. And this is the one that I hope she does the most. I know she probably will not do. But when my wife and I met in 1993, this was what I was playing on the radio when we were first talking. So this is entitled Lullaby. When the sky has fallen like a blanket on your shoulder, and the moon is like a mother looking over you forever, and the dawn is so familiar you were meant to be together, like a fog around a mountain, forever. So softly, so sweetly, surrounding you completely, sing you a lullaby to you. Lullaby, lullaby to you. When your breathing is the wind and your crying is the rain, you will remember, because the music is forever. The living of a lover and the loving of another, like a sister and a brother, like a father and a mother. So softly, so sweetly, surrounding you completely, sing you a lullaby to you. Lullaby, lullaby to you. Now when the sky has fallen like a blanket on your shoulder, and the moon is like a mother looking over you forever, and the dawn is so familiar you are meant to be together, like a fog around a mountain, forever, forever. That's one rendition of it. And Jeanette Napolitano is probably one of my... Well, I have so many favorite poets. That's hard to say. She's up there on the list.
Yeah.
I keep lists. I actually do, of like guitarists I really enjoy, bassists I really enjoy, xylophonists I really... Well, okay, maybe not xylophonists.
I was going to say, that's a bit of a stretch on that one.
The best of. And, you know, like... Buddy Rich is the top of my list of drummers. Neil Peart's number two. I mean, so you know where I'm coming at with that.
So wouldn't a xylophonist just be a percussionist?
No, there are
absolutely not. Lionel Hampton was not a percussionist. He was a xylophonist.
I mean, you can't. So there's.
Well, and yes, I did pull that out of nowhere.
No, this is true. Percussionists will specialize in a variety of different instruments. However, someone who, like, there's people, marimba players and vibe players in jazz. That's like true. That all they do.
I know. So, yeah. I was just. Yeah,
they usually start in percussion, but
yeah,
not the same thing.
Okay.
You got another submission for us, my friend?
I do. Sorry, I was reading something else really important.
Yes, I could tell.
All right.
Callaway Golf Clubs, my friend? I didn't even know you liked golf.
I don't. I hear that hanging out there and holding Callaway Golf Clubs gets you lots of friends.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And business associates.
And business associates. All right.
You don't like to work either.
Okay. Anyway, I could just go off on this. This one is from Brandy Battle, and this is called Back to Dust. That is how you entered in the beginning, but the right suit to entice will give out, and in advance, already paid, price the clay had to derive its formation to prepare the purpose. Therefore, those ashes are a symbol to inscribe to feature the next innermost phase to subscribe. God wants to refresh our mind like never before, because one day we shall all transition back to dust. And that's from Brandy Battle. Thank you for your submission. Enjoyed your work.
Brandy,
just like last time.
Well done. Michael, another fabulous read.
Thank you.
And that draws to close segment number two of World Poetry Open Mic, which means we do have just a little bit of time to complete After Dark.
That's right. So we're going to be heading into the After Dark segment. So this is the end of World Poetry Open Mic proper.
And you're going to want to, if you've got family members that are not of age, tune out, spare their ears. If you want to stick around, we're going to have some adult poetry uncensored. The only thing we ask, no hate speech. And that's pretty much it. No hate speech.
No, we don't accept the hate speech side of it. However, all the other things are, you know.
Yeah. You want to throw in an occasional F-bomb? Fine. I don't care. All right. That's World Poetry Open Mic for Michael Amade, JT, and myself. Thank you for tuning in. Good night, Robert Mordlin, wherever you're at.